October meeting, the Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. The first item is the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Third item is the approval of the minutes. Again, I was not here last time, so I'll let the other three members who were present take a couple minutes and look through the minutes and see if they have any changes.
I had emailed two changes, looks like those have been made on page four.
I must admit that after looking at the minutes here, I probably picked a good meeting not to be here. It looks like it's fun. All right, is there a motion to approve the minutes? Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, next item is public comments. I know we have some folks in the audience, but I assume you're here for a different agenda item right now. Is that correct? Okay. All right, seeing nobody for general public comments, we'll go on to item number five, which is old business. A is parking on Highway 421, discussion, and I believe that Tony Gonzalez is going to be here from SLAP to talk about that.
He's not going to be
right,
here. He's ill.
Notice that he's not going to be here.
No.
We also, I believe, had an email from the attorney suggesting that there was some possibilities that you might be able to look at in terms of overlay districts and things like that regarding some of the parking issues. And I don't know if everybody had a chance to read that email. Just want to point that out before we make a motion or continue discussion on this. So it seems like there's a couple things. We could either table this item until Tony's available to talk to us. We could direct the attorney to maybe investigate a little more detail about some possibilities in terms of addressing some of the parking issues on Fort Fisher and maybe some other places.
I personally would have Tony's input. They've worked on it for years.
They've had a couple studies.
And, they've had a lot of studies done, a lot of stuff worked on.
Okay. I mean, so is that motion table?
I think we should table until Tony comes, because at least the summary of what he's done.
Unfortunately, I wasn't here for the conversation, so I'll defer to other committee members. Is there a second to table?
I'll second that.
Okay. Further discussion to table parking on Highway 421 until the next meeting. Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Okay. Second item is rental certificates. Again, I believe that somebody sent me an email. I'm not sure if it was John or somebody else here, but basically suggested that this might be the appropriate time for one of us, and I probably would be that person since I kind of brought this up, to write an attempt of writing a possible rental certificate ordinance that we can then take apart and present and things like that. So I'm not sure if John said that or if
it was John.
It was John, okay. I would certainly be willing to do that. You know, I certainly have talked to everybody. We've had numerous discussions. And, you know, generally feel I know what the concerns are and what the direction that the council is interested in. This was actually presented to the council. They provided feedback in terms of trying to make this as simple as possible and just address some of the major concerns and not get into a lot of detail. So I would certainly be willing, if it's okay with the commission here, to take the first cut at kind of writing something that I think might fit and take it apart or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And I believe I actually sent around some language last time, and I knew I wasn't going to be here at the meeting too, that looked like was a pretty common language in terms of kind of a self-approval, self-policing type of process, which I know the council is interested in. So is there a motion to table this item with the condition that I would come back at the next meeting with a preliminary proposal for the rental certificate?
I'll make that motion.
So table.
Okay, so second. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, opposed? Nobody. All right, item number C. This is accessory dwelling units. Again, I just brought this up. I'm not sure why it came up. It came up out of the parking discussion. That's right. again, to kind of remind everybody what the accessory dwelling unit issue is that, you know, people essentially adding an additional living unit to a individual property or individual single-family house. A lot of times you see these are ones that are elevated and they'll put it on the bottom and they turn around and rent those. And just kind of brought up the issue as to whether some states do have regulations regarding that. Some states have regulations regarding certain types of accessory dwelling units because there are some rules in some states that allow granny houses and these sort of things for retirement. And I believe the attorney actually did a little bit of investigation on that and, you know, again, sent around an email. Maybe you can kind of talk a little bit about that.
Thank you, Chairman. The way I understood the assignment was whether or not they were prohibited or limited under North Carolina law. And I simply pointed out what I thought was the case, that there's no prohibition or limitation under the general statutes. Every ordinance I looked at about 10 of them across the state provided for them. And as I pointed out in the email, if you could... There's no prohibition or limitation. I don't know that you want to go that far and try to impose the same when all across the state they're allowed. However, they can also, and they are, regulated by the zoning ordinance or your all's code. If you could identify what issues, if the Planning Commission could identify what issues they were primarily concerned with, then staff can investigate whether or not a regulatory resolution through the zoning ordinance could be applied.
The reason I mentioned this, again, I've spent a lot of time in California. California, particularly the beach communities, have a real problem with these. You know, say in San Diego beach communities, La Jolla, Newport Beach, that sort of thing, where California actually has a regulation that says you can't restrict these sort of things. There's actually that sort of thing as a granny house. You can't have a kitchen in it. There's some requirements in terms of size. Can't have a kitchen, that sort of thing. Well, immediately people sitting on multi-million dollar properties there started to build these things, and they built it under that particular statute. But then they turn around and rent it, and nobody's checking on them and stuff like that. So the individual cities have passed a lot of regulations limiting and at least checking up on it to try to work within the California statute. So this just simply came up to see whether the state of North Carolina has any language to that effect and whether you actually found any cities that specifically limited or restricted these sort of things. I'm not sure if we want to do anything. This is just more of an information thing.
The answer is no. I didn't find any particular limitations or prohibitions. What I found was a pretty standard permissive right by use by right in the table of uses for residential districts without any unusual restrictions or limitations. That I think you could come up with that if you felt that there was a problem you wanted to avoid. But I've been looking at zoning ordinances in a detailed fashion for over 15 years and I've never even heard of an ADU issue. Okay. So I'm not sure it's... but then again, I'm very new to Curie Beach, so...
it tends to be more of a problem in beach communities for obvious reasons.
But if the board would like me to if the commission would like me to do anything further on that, I'll be glad to do it. As I understood, the assignment last month was check the statutes and other jurisdictions to see if there were unique restrictions or limitations, and I did not find that.
And again, without having, you know, again, that also came up because in California, the California statute overwrote HOAs. So HOAs, for example, could restrict that sort of thing, but in California, the HOAs can't restrict it if it doesn't have a kitchen. So there's a lot of issues like that, but you didn't, it sounds like there's nothing, language to that effect here.
But you said, I would add this comment, which I'm sure the commission knows about. In North Carolina, if you have a case of zoning regulations and HOA covenants, the stricter the two control.
Okay. John, is there any, and we talked last time, other than maybe a parking issue, you haven't seen any other issues to be concerned about with these ADUs?
Our lots are just too small for a lot of them. Every now and then I get a request for one, and most of the time it's a garage or some sort of shed in the back, and they want to connect it and heat it and all that good stuff. And I do allow it as long as they do some sort of roof line breezeway that connects the two to make it part of the main structure. And there is no full kitchen located in the unit.
So with those regulations and setbacks and all that, it probably does keep the lid on this
restriction too, if they were to put bedrooms and then they had to connect it to the main house, then pretty much limits all that.
I was just more interested in the discussion on something I think that we need to do right now. I certainly wouldn't mind a motion to table this item, but not have it on the agenda unless it comes up again. Is there a second for that?
Second.
Any further discussion? All right, so we'll table this item, but not have it on our future agendas. Next item number six, which is the new business. This is the 637 Fort Fisher Boulevard, Seaview Subdivision. So I believe we're probably the starting point for this is to have John, if there's a short introduction here, and then we can go to the presentation. If
quick introduction. As I said in last month's meeting, and I believe the meeting before that, this piece of property actually came before the planning and zoning board in 2005 and 2006. Ultimately, it was originally approved with the final plat for construction in 2006, and it never came to fruition. Since then, the property just has been sitting vacant. It's been an aggravation as far as vegetation control and parking issues and different things like that. Multiple people over the last couple of years inquire about buying it. Finally have some people that bought it, and they're well ready to move forward with plans that are very, very similar to what was originally approved in 2006. As I said last month, I hope y'all have reviewed Chapter 15 of our zoning ordinance. It has to do with subdivisions. We haven't had one since 2006. It's not a very complicated process, but as long as we can get started on the right foot, I think we'll be okay. I'm placed on your desk a copy of the preliminary plat checklist that I performed. I believe we've got everything they pretty much need in this preliminary plat. I believe it meets the definition and the intent of our ordinances. At this point, I would highly recommend the board going through this checklist themselves. I've got a blank sitting here ready for your purview. After we go through this thing, I wanted to go through the plat review, the procedure, what would be expected after tonight. Bottom line, you as a board have to accept or deny this preliminary plat within 45 days. If you approve
is that 45 days once submitted or 45 days
from tonight? If you approve it, it's sent directly to town council. If they approve, disapprove. If they disapprove, they'll send it back to us with their comments. Most likely they're going to approve if y'all do. At that point in time, the developer would submit a final plat for our review and approval, and that again will be sent to town council. If you disapprove it, the developer still has an option to go to town council and have it approved of it as they've done, as they've originally drawn it. I don't anticipate that as being an issue, but just wanted to give you a quick overview on that. Developers are here. I believe y'all met them. It's Stuart Pittman and Steve McCurry. They have provided, or they've got a PowerPoint presentation. Got a large map that's sitting on this desk here, and you should each have a smaller version in your packets for your review. They're ready to do whatever you want to do for their presentation.
Before we hear the presentation, do any members of the commission have any comments or questions for John?
It's upside down.
What?
That was, which I'm sure the correct answer. All the rain is upside down when you look at it from Curious Village.
I'm not.
So it's a little confusing. You got to spin it around and stuff. When you turn it,
that's why I was getting confused.
The title block's up in the corner, upside down, and the label's upside down. All the information's upside down. That's all. Everything else is pretty good.
As I said, I've got a large copy on the table in front. I encourage you to look at that so you can see better. I want to see what my small copy looks like.
The small one gave up the same way.
This ride is looking north, Alan. This ride. It's looking north there.
No. But if you turn it this way, oh, it looks nice. What if your boat runs this way? Sure, you need to build it this way.
That's Port Fisher right there.
Yeah. So that's north. Cree Beach Village is north.
Yeah, that's north.
Cree Beach Village Drive.
Oh, wait.
Is it way or not?
Oh, your house is your built right there.
Are we still upside down?
Chairman, do you mind if I ask Mr. Batson a couple of questions?
No, absolutely not.
Before the benefit to the commission, if you haven't looked at the subdivision since 2006. Mr. Batson, would you agree that preliminary plat approval in this town under your ordinance is administrative and not discretionary? Administrative in that it meets the standards. It gets the approval and conditions cannot, other than what's in the ordinance, cannot be imposed on.
That's correct.
Do you understand that?
Everybody clear on that?
By the way, something I don't like, I mean, it should, most planning commissions on subdivisions have discretion over certain things, so you can ask for certain things like elevations and stuff like that, but we can't do that here. It's not the ordinance, for example, we can't ask for elevations. We can give suggestions about design and things like that, but we can't require
them. Right. This is not a quasi-judicial proceeding on it either. The only conditions that can be really imposed are the ones needed to make the application comply with the standards.
But just very quickly, John, how many potential subdivisions do we have left? I don't know if it's worth even bringing up the issue of adding a discretionary component into the
ordinance. The definition of a subdivision is dividing a piece of land into more than two lots.
Okay.
So, potentially a couple, but...
All right. Well, I'm not going to say anything because it's a busy presentation. You might have some design elements in there and things like that. So, all right. If it's okay with the commission, we'll go ahead and use the presentation.
Let's go back and forth on the slide.
Want to see the presentation.
Would you like to see his presentation?
Sure. Is that okay? You see the good?
Great.
Yeah.
Is it that one?
Yeah, they're all the same. I just didn't know which version.
I notice that's PPT instead of PPTX. Is this back from 2006?
Yeah, there's a couple of older. I didn't know which version of PowerPoint you guys had, so I saved it a few different ways. I'm Stuart Pittman. Thanks for your time. This shows a little bit about what we're planning to do, some conceptual designs in terms of what the project might look like, and then some background on other projects we've done, just to give you a background on our experience.
You need to start the slideshow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There we go.
Oops. Okay. So, overview, I think John probably already covered most of this. 637 North Fisher Boulevard, it's 1.4 acres. It's currently zoned B3. I believe the density allows 19 units under that zoning and the size of the property. It was previously approved by this commission, I believe, in 2006 for 19 units. What we're proposing is 19 units and 8 buildings with a swimming pool. We redesigned the original plan, which was basically a bunch of duplexes all in a row that basically had a view of the one in front of them. And
you had to park around the perimeter and walk to your unit. We didn't think that was a real good design, so we designed it so that the units were kind of around the perimeter and they have a view. And it creates some nice open space in the middle. Also, it's less complicated, both from a traffic perspective and stormwater perspective and all that. All the stormwater will be retained on site through a filtration system. Parking, we have three spaces per unit, one car garage underneath each unit, and then two in the driveway. The setbacks are as required by zoning. You've already looked at the map shown here, I guess. So we have some duplex units along Curry Village Way. One of them is a three-unit building, and then along Fort Fisher Boulevard, we have two three-unit buildings. And then facing the pond, where Sea Watch is, down here at the bottom, we have three duplex units. And the traffic flow, basically, would come in here, so one-way drive, and come back out here to exit.
So the road is one-way all the way through?
Yeah, it'd be one-way coming in here and flowing through the unit. And we have some extra overflow parking here, basically on the grass. I know this drawing is a little confusing because it's showing the stormwater system and the filtration field and stuff like that, too. And I believe there's a public beach access right here across the street. We've got a place for a dumpster back here, a swimming pool, pump house, swimming pool deck, and so forth. I don't know if there's any questions about the map itself.
The only question I have, again, as the attorney pointed out, it's become more of an administrative process, but I'm concerned about the look. You know, and I know that's discretionary and not something that we approve or not approve right here, but when you look at those three units right there in Fort Fisher, we've had some other buildings here in Curry Beach that are rather not attractive from the front.
Right.
You know, how are you going to, or I mean, are there going to be some architectural interest in these things, or just going to be the box look?
Yeah, I'll get to that. I've got some conceptual ideas that I'll show you. We haven't gotten to the point where we started drawing the buildings themselves. Because we have to make sure the footprint's okay before we spend time doing that. But I'll show you some conceptual ideas and things.
Just out of curiosity, why don't you do the duplexes along front, do three duplexes rather than two threeplexes?
A lot of it has to do with how much we can fit with the 5-foot separation between buildings. I don't think we had enough room to do duplexes because of the additional separation. It's too wide. There's an existing stormwater permit, too, that dictates how much of the impervious surface you can cover, that we're trying to maintain the same amount that's already approved under that stormwater permit.
Alan, any questions?
So far, so good.
Do you have some concepts that anyone might look
for? I'll show you a couple of things. I mean, okay. One of the things we want to do is try to let each unit feel like it's in a unit if we can by using, you know, different roof dormers on each unit. Try to give it some kind of sense of being its own house or whatever, even though it's a tailgate. I'll show you a couple of others. You know, these are typical of some of the higher end stuff. I have seen some of the buildings. It's just a long building. It looks all the same. It has no architectural interest. So I think that's one of the design elements we're going to try to have is, you know, be consistent with the other things that are in Curry Beach, but also try to make the units feel like they're in their own home if we can. And then I was going to show you guys some of the projects we've done. In terms of landscaping, this is the kind of landscaping, you know, the look and feel that we would try to stay with. You know, the larger trees, bushes, palm trees, things like that, that kind of give it a sense of being in a luxurious type environment. And we'll have a pool at the back corner to be landscaped somewhat similar to this. These are some of the projects that we've been involved in, Steve and I, mostly in Carolina Beach. You may be familiar with Waterfront Builds and Yacht Club. River Point, River Road, Harbor Point, it's down by Waterfront. Sound and Sea, Triplex we did on the north end. Lanier Landing, we just did on St. Joseph Street. Captain's Walk, Steve was involved in over across the, just across the bridge. Ocean Palms, we did 10 units on Ocean Boulevard. And Ocean Walk, we did over by the lake in Carolina Beach. I've got some pictures of some of these. Waterfront, Steve was involved in from the very beginning, and then me and another partner of mine took it over about three quarters of the way and finished the last building here and added some more slips to the marina and so forth. And we managed the property for a long time, the HOA and things like that. This is Lanier Landing that we just did in 2012 and 2013. Just to give you a kind of feel for, you know, the design elements that we included. This is on St. Joseph Street across from Forest by the Sea. There's just six little single-family homes. this is River Point that Steve was involved in on River Road. It's a town project also. This is Harbor Point, which is down by Waterfront. 90 units with a 101 slivering in clubhouse. And this is a triplex we did out on the north end. This is one of the first things we did. We tried to give this some unique design elements, you know, the exposed rafter tails, staggered the units so each one had its own kind of unique view. So we tried not to build just, you know, out of the box. This is Ocean Palms. We did this on Ocean Boulevard. These we incorporated a pretty nice rooftop penthouse party room with a deck, so that even though you're, you know, four or five blocks back, you have some views up here at the ocean. These are actually, you know, duplex. I mean, they're duplex townhome style, four bedroom. I mean, four stories with an elevator. But you can see here, kind of a neat design element. And then this is Ocean Walk. This is over behind the lake, Carolina Beach. Same thing here, we kind of staggered the units, which we plan to do on the duplexes that we show on the map. And this is Captain's Walk. This is a project Steve did over across the bridge a long time ago. It's one of the more well-established neighborhoods, I guess. And I think that's it.
Well, again, I would certainly encourage you to put as much design elements as possible. You know, we live in Curie Beach, and, you know, we like to see these nice design elements, I think.
Absolutely.
So, you know, just would strongly encourage that, even though that's not part of the approval process.
So we think that's what sells the units the best, you know. During the recession, I think that's the only reason we sold the Ocean Palms units. Because they had these neat, you know, rooftop decks and tent houses and things that some of the other ones didn't have, so it kind of saved us.
All right. Is there a motion?
Anything else we need to do administratively?
I would love to, you know, go through that checklist. That's a board. Yeah. I think that would be very beneficial.
You've got question marks on the feet, the streets, all the stuff. You got question marks against after.
There's a couple small things that I still have questions about.
Now, this is, when we go through the checklist here, these are just things that are have not been submitted. It's not that you've approved.
No, sir. These are the things that are supposed to be on that preliminary plat right there.
Okay.
So I've already done my review as a subdivision administrator. It's very beneficial for the board to do their own.
Have you, you have some dashes? Dashes mean what?
I don't believe that's necessary.
Okay. And question marks mean what?
I haven't noted on the plat.
Have you shown the developer this checklist to show that
they can
get
checklist
explanations, at least for the question marks?
They've seen the checklist multiple times. The only, ultimately, every department head in Curie Beach has to sign off on this. So, fire chief has not seen this. Planning director has seen, or the public works director has seen this. He doesn't have any comments at this point. I've got a couple concerns that I need to address with the fire chief, just making sure he's okay with road width and whether or not he wants a fire hydrant installed anywhere within that area. Ordinance, I can't find anything in ordinance that says there has to be. So that's kind of what you see at the top of the sheet there.
Okay, now let me ask the attorney then, our role in terms of the sequencing here. John just mentioned that he hasn't talked to a couple of the staff. Given that you've pointed out that it's an administrative process, what is our role tonight if John hasn't talked to these other staff people? Again, they said the staff has to sign off. A number of people here have to sign off with us. Where are we in this approval process, given that several people have not spoken signed off?
They'll sign off only on the final plat.
You raised a good question. It was one of the, it's not an applicable question for this particular procedure, although I'll address it in a second. But one of the things that sometime in the future that I was going to bring up with Mr. Batson and Ms. Fitzgerald is whether you want to incorporate by an amendment to the subdivision provisions. Agency review before it comes to you as a preliminary plat. I was talking to Mr. Bison, is that how you pronounce it? Member Bison. Even though you don't, I work for several towns. One of them does a TRC before the preliminary plat, and letters go out to CAMA, Corps, DOT, EMS, Fire. And it's an interesting way to tweak the plat to get what you want, even though it's an administrative process, because TRC might tell the developer, based on what the utility says, well, you know, we need to see this or we need to see that, the developer agrees. In this particular case, everything's gone by the book. The checklist has to be, it has to come in, the checklist has to be met. And it comes to you at a certain time, and based on what I see on this checklist, which is basically your record of compliance with the provisions of the ordinance, I don't see any gray ground. So, in terms of this particular application under your code provisions at the present time, I think everything that's required is in front of you.
Spike got a turn earlier. I was looking over who has to actually sign off on this. It's Director of Public Works and myself. Obviously, we're going to run by the other department heads to make sure that they're okay with it also. But technically speaking, we're the only ones that have to sign off on it other than you and the mayor.
One last question for the attorney. We have a couple of question marks here. We've certainly had approval subject to certain things taking place, subject to conditions. Given that, let's say we don't have, well, let's take a simple one, linear feet of streets. Mm-hmm. Rather trivial sort of thing probably to put on it. But can we, within our jurisdiction approve something subject to certain levels of compliance being made?
Yes, I meant to say that. You can apply conditions. The conditions that you apply are to have the preliminary plat comply with the code requirements.
So we could make a motion to approve, I'm not saying we will, but we could, subject to item number 18 and item number 24E being met to the satisfaction of John.
If John agrees with me, I think that's appropriate.
I just want to make sure, given that, this is a fairly important thing. Okay.
Could you address a little bit more on the stormwater? Is this an engineered system? Is it something John's going to be inspecting? Diener? I'd like to know a little bit more about that.
It's an engineered system, and we have our engineer here that can answer any questions.
And is this one that Diener's going to be reviewing through the process?
Yes, sir. My name is Luke Minas with Stroud Engineering. One of the authors of the original plan 10 years ago was the author of this plan as well. This site was permitted through NC Diener back in 2005 or 2006. I'm not sure the date of that permit, but prior to us beginning the construction process. We got the permit for the stormwater. It's the stormwater permit is still valid today. My task going forward from the town process will be to modify the permit and get the correct name where the old permittee is still on the books up at Diener. And then the elements that we've moved around the plan, shifting buildings, shifting drive aisles, are essentially a wash from the permit standpoint. They're just looking at it in terms of the total built upon area. So we'll show them the updated plan with the new building location so they can go and do an on-site inspection and see that we built further plans. But the system itself is fundamentally unchanged. We've got a series of drop inlets around the site with oversized pipes, I think 48-inch RCP, with a stormwater pump station. It's just essentially a rain tank, and it can certainly be retrofitted to function like that. But you've got an underground cistern that pumps to an infiltration gallery that resembles a septic trench. You would never see it. It's just going to be stone and pipe, and it would dispose of the water that way. I believe it was a 3-inch storm that the rules required in 2006. We'll detain that on site, and that system's unchanged from then to what we're proposing now. So it's just a matter of modifying the permit reflect the new layout.
So everything is designed to stay on site? You're not tying into 18-inch DOT line or anything like that?
Well, there is an overflow for storms that exceed the design storm. And the design storm is a term they use to describe the amount of water you have to detain for a given site. This particular site, when it was permitted in 2006, the design storm was a 3-inch storm, which is to say if it commenced to rain right now, nothing would run off that site until you reach the 3-inch level. At that point, your system would be full, the cistern would fill up, and then it would overflow and tie into the existing collection system on the street. So for a 3-inch storm, I believe that's about a 10-year storm on the total precipitation. We're approaching that. The most rain events are not going to end up in the street.
Okay,
what's the material on the road on your roads?
I don't know if I've even got the asphalt section called out. It'll probably be an inch and a half asphalt over maybe a 4-inch stone base. I don't know if we've even got to the nitty gritty of that or if there's a code requirement.
You actually have a 6-inch.
It's a 6-inch stone base. I know the previous plan actually called out I think it was just an oyster shell, unpaved.
I thought that was part of the stormwater having a pervious.
No, there's no requirement for a pervious pavement. And in fact, in 2006, when this was first permitted, I don't believe that NC Deaner even recognized pervious pavement as a viable option. You could certainly utilize it on the site, which didn't get any credit from NC Deaner. The rules have changed since then, but our current permit is dated in 2006, and not calling for any pervious pavement.
Three letters sent out to surrounding properties. Any feedback on that? Anybody respond?
Well, they were actually returned as non-deliverable. However, we did meet with the CWatch HOA as we were prior to this meeting tonight. We may discuss working together on joining their HOA or something.
The way it's drawn, it looks like the buildings are like right on the setback line. Is it, you plan on having any room to play with these things as far as like parking? The driveway is 20 feet exactly, parking restriction. And
I believe we have a couple
of there's a few to move stuff back away from the setback. You're referring to buildings 8 through 13, I suppose. Is that your?
Yeah, and then the back ones, 18, 14 through 19, look like the back line is right on that setback line.
I'll give you the dimensions. Short side of the driveway, it's at an angle, so you've got one shorter stall, one longer stall. The shorter stall is 21 feet from the drive aisle to the face of the building, and then the longer side is a few feet longer. It's 28. So there's a little bit of
that.
drop pile itself around too. I should also point that out. It's in the, I think, what made it work out here the best, but it could certainly slide a foot one way or another and have no real effect on the plan elements.
One last question. This is a very technical sort of thing. It says at the end of section 15, it says no final plat will be accepted for review by P&Z or town council. So we're looking at a preliminary plat right now because, just so I understand the process, because again, we haven't seen a subdivision in a while. After the preliminary goes through the approval process, and that gives it the right to go ahead and create a final plat that people have to sign off on. We will see that again.
Okay.
And that has to be certified by the town clerk, acknowledging compliance with the improvement and guarantee standards of Chapter 15. That puts a lot of burden and responsibility on her.
There's, and I'm sure that would be under Mr. Batson's purview, but there is an additional checklist for final plat. So you'll see this kind of thing again.
Okay.
To make sure.
But officially, it's got to be transmitted to us by the town clerk now, rather than John.
It'll be a very similar procedure with a very similar checklist, and it'll be a matter of determining whether it complies with the standards in the code, and it wouldn't come before you if there was some issue about that. Mr. Chairman, I do have one question, if I might, here for the developers. The drive aisle. I don't know if that's a street or a road, but what I'm curious about is who is responsible for maintaining that? It needs to be paid or repaired. Is that going to be needed to the HOA? Does the HOA be assessed for that? How does that work? Common area that will be used to the HOA. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So any further discussion?
Yeah, okay. One question at least. What do you have a square foot in mind for these individual units?
Based on the footprint size, roughly 2,100.
2,100. Okay.
All right. All right. Again, you know, before we, that's really close to Fort Fisher. That's going to be some pretty tall building that's pretty close to Fort Fisher. So again, I really encourage some design elements to make it less.
Yeah, I would encourage you to share whatever vision you can on the Fort Fisher side, even though it's not required for our review or council's review. But anything you can do to tell us where the heat pump's going for units 8 to 13, and what are the decks looking like, and just that's the critical. Not that we don't care about the Seawatch side of it, but the Fort Fisher Boulevard. Anything you can share with us, and with council when you get to that point,
yeah,
I think it would make it easier.
We just don't want to spend a lot of money on architecture.
I understand. And
have the footprint not work.
Because we got plenty of examples of just deck.
Yeah.
Right.
Your stuff looks great. If you do what you've done in the past, it's going to look great.
Right.
But I think anything you can share,
absolutely,
that'd be great.
All right, before we make a motion, does anybody want to walk through the checklist, or do you feel John's check is sufficient?
Mr. Chairman, one comment about the question mark on 18.
Sure.
I don't think that provision is, 18 is that whole paragraph that doesn't appear to be applicable since there won't be any public streets within this particular subdivision. Mr. Batson agrees with that. That's probably what that question mark, if that is even a question mark.
So that won't be a public street in there? It'll be a private maintained street?
Or the vision of Zelda.
All right, let's go ahead and, the two question marks, obviously, the linear feet in streets is pretty understandable. John, what's your take on 18 and why you have a question mark there, given what
Jesus Well, part mentioned? Of it says that the subdivider must submit it to DOT. It's part of the reason I had the question mark, but the other part was I'm not sure it was really applicable to what we're doing here.
I think that the intersection with the state-maintained roads will become relevant at the time of the final, but I don't think that we have
there is another section in our ordinance that says that I'm supposed to, every subdivision, I'm supposed to send it to DOT for review also. None of this intersects any kind of state-maintained road, and so that's kind of been a question in my mind. I'll probably send it to them anyway just because we've got a pretty good working relationship with them. I'm sure they'd be interested to know about the additional outflow from Curie Village Way there. So.
Is all right. Your requirement, John, about how close you can have egress to Fort Fisher?
Is that it?
Yeah.
I found nothing.
Okay. All right, so what I'm hearing about the question mark is that you think that that should be more of a dash than a question mark there.
It could be a dash. I'm letting you know that I'm going to be letting the DOT know about it regardless. Previously, in 2006, there was an entrance off of Fort Fisher Boulevard for this neighborhood, so I would assume there would be found with it.
So, the commission could entertain a motion subject to staff following up with DOT and if deemed necessary, the linear feet length of the private check-car drive-off.
All right, well, I'll go ahead and make a motion just to get a start on this. I'll motion that we approve, preliminary.
I think you're making a motion to recommend to the board of council.
Right, yeah. Okay, so we're going to motion to recommend to the council approval of the preliminary plat for 637 Fort Fisher Boulevard and Seaview subdivision, subject to that. How do you want to word that, John, to deal with transportation?
I'm going to double check on number 18 and number 24D of the preliminary plat checklist.
We say satisfactory completion of those two items.
Satisfactory completion of item 18 on the preliminary plat checklist and item number 24E.
Yeah, I think that's very clear.
Is there a second?
I will second it.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I got one question.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm going to talk about the dumpster again because we did the last night. Which I have to say, I do like the position of this one better than the original. Do you have a plan to buffer that dumpster from the adjacent property or a wall or anything? Anything in mind for that?
We haven't designed anything specific yet, so absolutely we can sort of fence around that landscape, but we don't want to see it either, so.
Right, yeah. And, you know, it is on that one person's property line. I didn't know if there's no
absolutely.
You know, be able to put some plants in the garage.
We'll hide it as well as we possibly can.
And there is no, John, there is nothing else for buffering in them. Because it's residential, right?
I double checked all that earlier, and I'm just looking through it again right now, just because.
There is for commercial, but not residential.
Yes, that's correct. Commercial budding commercial now, or excuse me, residential budding residential, so makes a huge difference.
All right, further questions, discussion? On the motion. Okay, the motion's been made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, can I follow up on this with one matter?
Yeah, I was going to talk about the consistency.
Right. Do you have that in front of you?
Yes, right. I don't know if we put it as a member item or part of this, because it's kind of a broad issue, too, not just related to this, but we obviously have been. I guess I've been signing consistency statements for any of our recommendations, ordinance changes, and things like that now for several years. That seems to be a major concern, obviously, for something like this. And it's consistency with, I believe, the general plan. Isn't that? Yes, consistency with the general plan. So that language for the consistency hasn't really been approved by us in terms of some formal language, I don't think. I believe that the town clerk has written that up in the past, haven't they? Right?
May I comment?
Yes.
Number one, consistency statements are required by statute.
Right.
Number two, they've come under appellate scrutiny lately. Number three, certainly everything is at the commission's pleasure, but consistency statements are only required for zoning amendments. This is not a zoning amendment. And if you think about it, it's an administrative decision-making process where they either comply or they don't. So the question of what's reasonable and what's in the public interest is actually irrelevant in an administrative decision of a preliminary plat. Nonetheless, you do need a written record of your recommendation and a basis for it. The basis simply being compliance with the ordinance. In the other towns that I work with, we have developed something very similar, but subdivision plat specific, basically stating those principles that we recommend it upon finding that it complies with the ordinance. I just wanted to point that out. Certainly, the commission can proceed whatever way it wants, but I'm not sure that a consistency statement is required for subdivision plat approval.
Okay. This is the form we've been using, and I write in some stuff there, basically. There's nothing wrong with doing a consistency statement.
No, there isn't.
In providing that.
I just wanted to make those points. That's
right.
Fine.
Right. Okay. So, well, given that this isn't a ordinance change, but rather an administrative process, what you're saying is this is not necessary for state regulations.
It's not legally required.
But
for
it's optional.
Yeah.
Now,
are you setting a precedent, Craig, if you do go ahead?
It doesn't. That precedent would not have any negative impact. No, you're creating a record, and that's the main thing. You want to create the written record.
We could create a written record by just a statement by the commission, but we don't need a consistency statement to create a written record. So we could say that our motion to recommend approval is consistent with the town's ordinance as this being an administrative process. And that would create a record, or do you think we should have it?
Or you could use this form and put that information in the bottom of the 1, 2, and 3 that it... the preliminary plat meets all the conditions of the town code, I haven't looked at your land use plan yet, but you could probably find consistency of subdivisions approval in this instance with the land use plan, and I'm sure it's going into an area that the land use plan deems residential. But I don't know that your second. So your first one and your second one on top is probably relevant. I don't know that the consideration of the text amendment or the recommendation applying to the architect district study is. And on the bottom, 1, 2, 3, you probably just need one, which is the board finds that subject to whatever language you use for those two items, that the preliminary plat otherwise complies with all the requirements of town subdivision ordinance or provisions.
All right. What I've written down here, because this actually has to be read and a motion made and seconded and voted upon by the council here. So what I'm hearing is that we check number one, check number two, but this would be section 15, then, right, is what we're talking about. So it asks for section 15, and it says part.
Section 15.
Just say section 15 on that.
Yeah, section 15, then 121.
You can do chapter 15, division 3.
All right, so take out part of the division.
Division 3 is the procedure for review of preliminary plats.
Okay. All right, so this is... All right, So I went ahead and checked, but then I asked planning and zoning, so I just wrote down two things. Preliminary plat meets all conditions of town code and land use plan. And number two is recommendation by P&amp;Z Commission reflects an administrative decision. Alright, is there a motion to... Okay, that's reading into the record, because I have to read into the record, so I've read it to the record. Is there a motion to accept the consistency, it's not an approval, I guess accept the consistency statement?
I'll make a motion to accept the statement.
Okay, it's a second.
Second.
Okay, is, let's go ahead and vote, and all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, opposed, okay. So I will go ahead and sign this, attesting to that. I get very nervous when I sign things that say attest above it.
I believe the 13th, 21st, 22nd, let's see. Yeah, October.
The base going to council?
21st.
23rd?
21st.
The third. The big ones.
Today is the first, and maybe on the third.
I worry about that, so we're having to redraw and everything, it's ridiculous.
Okay, if I can kind of continue here, just very, very quickly, we can close and then have a discussion. Next to that agenda item is member items. Do any of the members have anything? Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn? Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Okay. Feel free to check. Okay. Every single one, we have three, four divisions. But we could check, they're required to have landscaping, all sorts of things that should be required here. This ordinance would be all the time for people to talk to you about. Anyway, here's what the people have to say. Consistency statement. We pulled the driveway out.
Is that what you're doing?